Look, we're going to be making a podcast here. So, today we got my painter with us, so we're going to talk about painting, all right?
Go ahead.
All right, so.
Ask me the questions.
All right, start you with some questions. So, it's going to be like an interview almost. So, all right, Robert, tell us about like the good stuff and the bad stuff about painting.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's start with the bad stuff. If you're going to paint and your house is semi-gloss, the kitchen or the front room, make sure you don't put semi-gloss on semi-gloss, because later on, within 1 to 2 months, it's going to start peeling because there's no adhesive. And your adhesive is the primer. So always primer over semi-gloss.
All right. Or you could wipe the walls with, like, there's products that'll take off the sheen, like I think it's called STP, right? You just rub on the wall and like with a rag, and then you can like get the sheen off. But it's better to prime,
yeah.
In my opinion as well, yeah.
And going back with that, if you wanna sit and keep rubbing and rubbing until you get that sheen out, and that's a lot of wall of coverage, well, that's a lot of work there, so.
Well, it's about it just as much work as primering, pretty much. But then the primer is going to cost more money.
A little bit. You can get straight primer kilts.
But also the primer is going to cover like a darker color paint to where it brings it back to the white, and then you can paint whatever color you want, like a lighter color than the original paint. Whereas if you just wipe it with the sheen or wipe it with the STP or a product that's going to get rid of that shine,
right.
Then you're gonna have to do a lot of coats, or it might be impossible to get it to a lighter color. So, but that really has nothing to do with it sticking, like adhering. But so yeah.
Because your adhesive is the primer. But yeah. I got a good tip for you, for all those homeowners or painters. Okay, say you got a blue room Your tint's always white, so you gotta cover the blue using a white, and that takes a lot of coats. It's gonna take for sure like 3 coats, more or less. So what you can do, and it's free, tint your primer the color of that blue wall, and it's free.
Yep.
And then when you're rolling that, you're not gonna cover white, you're gonna cover blue over blue, and it makes the job a lot easier.
But when you tint your primer,
yep,
you can do that. Especially if it's like a light color, but if you're trying to get to like a dark color, the tinting of the primer isn't gonna be like, it's gonna be, let's say you're trying to get to this blue, it'll be like maybe a light blue,
yeah,
but it might not be the same color blue as you're gonna be painting,
right?
Because they can only fill that container with so much more tint, like the container, or like let's say it's a gallon of paint, it's already almost like full, that whole container, so they can put like an extra, you know, just sure half inch.
So going back with that, it's going to be like 20 to 30%, a little bit different, but it's still going to have the blue. Okay, more or less too, if you're going to paint, it's a blue wall. Okay, so say if you paint your, or whatever, you're painting your room a tan or a green, tint your primer the color of your finished paint. And then you already got a green on there, and then put your finish paint green. But remember, like you say, you're going to have like 10 to 30% lighter your primer.
But
that's okay.
It'll be a good start, yeah,
that's
for sure.
That's a real good start, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's a good one. That's a very good tip. All right, and so, well, that's not a bad thing. I guess that would be one of the good things about knowing what you're doing. Okay. So, all right, that's cool stuff. How about prep? Oh, I got a good thing for prep. A lot of people don't know that there's some special tools you can have that can speed up the work. Like, there's a taping machine that has the tape and some paper, and it rolls it out where the tape is already halfway on the edge of the paper, and then
paper
the other
machine.
Yeah, and the other half of the tape sticks to the wall, so that's kind of speeds up the process of the prep work. So You can get, they make like plastic ones.
Yep.
At the big box stores and stuff, but they do have, like, my man here has a metal one that, you know, it's hard to find nowadays, you know, but it's...
I had that for a few years.
All right.
It's over 7 years.
Where'd you get it?
Am I allowed to say? I got that.
Maybe not.
Maybe not, okay. We'll leave it at maybe not, but it's a real good one, and I know that some stores sell them, but it's not as top grade as mine, and I really like mine, and so on.
Yeah, if you could get the metal machine, then it's definitely better get that over the plastic one.
Hey, let's go with the bad thing.
Okay.
Some people use tape so they can make that straight line. Okay. Well, paint is water-based. Usually we use that. And water is going to seep behind tape. And we use that regular blue tape. Sometimes it's going to seep through here and there.
But they have edge lock tape, too.
There you go. And that's the good thing about it. You got the edge lock where it's
something in there to seal it.
Something in there that seals the water, locks it, and then you get your straight line.
Okay.
That's a good
thing. Or they have the frog tape, too.
Or the frog tape. Or you got somebody that's really good in cutting.
There's another trick. Here's another trick to that. Say you just have the blue tape. You don't have that special edge lock or the frog tape.
I think I know what you're going to say there.
There's a little trick you can do.
It's called caulking.
That's right. So what you do is you put a small, thin bead of caulking on the edge of that tape. Very thin. As thin as you can.
How do you apply that?
So just put it on with the caulking gun and then and then just wipe it off with your finger.
Cool.
Till it's very thin.
Do you wet your finger when you do it?
You could. Yeah, that's gonna help. Yeah. And then when you're done, you peel that off, and that'll make that same seal to where the paint can't, you know, bleed behind the tape. So, all right, this is all good stuff. So let me ask you another question here. What is...
We got enough time for one more question. We're running out of time here, but go ahead.
Only one more question.
That's it.
All right. Well, let me ask you this. This is a two-part question. Do we have time for a two-part question?
We're squeezing in the other half. We'll see what we can work with.
All right. This is what I got. So, do you prefer spraying or rolling?
Well, it all depends on the situation. I like to spray, get in and out.
And the second part is, what's your favorite thing to paint?
What's my favorite thing to paint? Okay, well...
Like interior or exterior?
I'll tell you what, I'm going to go and shoot for interior.
Okay, why?
Why? I'm looking at... if I'm inside a residence, it's interior... Then I'm looking at a bunch of rooms, I'm looking at walls. If I'm exterior, I'm looking at walls plus a lot of windows plus a lot of angles and all this and that, and dealing with the roof and dealing with the fascia and dealing with the eaves, dealing with part of the roofing. So there's a lot more
to do with other cars and houses that you could potentially get like overspray on and stuff like that. So it's a little...
And you can run into some problems with overspray and... end up being reliable for...
Let's talk about that a little bit. Have you ever accidentally...
Well, there's that bell. You got a couple seconds left.
All right, well, let me just ask you this. Have you ever oversprayed accidentally anybody else's property?
Well, I'm going to take the Second Amendment on that. No, that's the Fifth Amendment.
That's the Fifth,
That's
right?
the Fifth. I used the Second right after the
what,
Fifth.
What, are you about to shoot me or what?
No. That's not how it goes. You do one, then becomes the Second if the person's aggressive. Okay.
All right, so no answer on that one. So no. We'll take that as a yes.
Okay.
All right.
And sounds then, just like the judge schooling in Huntington Park. Go ahead.
All right.
Go ahead, sir.
All right, let me ask you something else. Have you ever fallen off a big ladder?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm getting interviewed by somebody that actually seen me slide down a ladder. Yes, thank you, sir.
Yeah, it was funny.
Yeah, that was funny. And I actually landed in the little platinum.
Oh, so there's something to that, though. There's always a lesson to be learned from stuff like that.
Yeah, and you got the floor. Go ahead and explain it.
All right, so I think, in my opinion, the reason why you fell... Okay, let me just draw the picture here.
Okay.
So we're painting this house. It's a big house with, like, big vaulted ceilings in the living room and everything.
Easy 12-footer ceilings.
It's a two-story house, but right. The living room goes all the way up, right? So, basically, he was on the ladder, the, what do you call that, extension ladder, up against the wall, all the way up at the top. Probably, I'd say about, I don't know, maybe your feet were about like 15 feet high?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah.
So then, he's up on the extension ladder. I think on the floor was tile, I'm pretty sure.
Right? Even though we got those rubber things on each ladder that comes equipped with that automatic thing.
Yeah, it comes with the rubber and it's on tile.
Uh-huh.
I think the issue was the angle of the ladder, correct?
Could have been.
Yeah, like it was out too far. It was too much of an angle.
Right.
So I think...
The weight shifted or something? And
yeah.
There I go.
So if you can get your ladder more up straight, obviously not perfectly straight. Obviously it's going to be a slight angle to it, but...
Oh, yeah.
Less of the angle, I think, the safer, the less chance that the ladder is going to slide out on you.
Okay, right? I'm going to have to stop you right there. I got something to resolve that. You can have your angle, like you said, more or less more straight up to prevent the slight slipping.
Yeah.
Or you can have it angled, really angled, and they're going to worry about slipping. But no, if you get another ladder to put on your floor and brace it against the ladder you're on, And then against the wall, you're not going nowhere. You're not sliding.
Oh yeah, you could do some extra.
Yeah, that's a good tip right there. And don't put your ladders on tarps. I've seen some people do that.
The tarp's gonna want to slide.
It's a magic carpet. Okay.
All right. Cool. So, all right, and then let me ask you this: any regrets? Like any jobs you've done that you regretted how it went or how you charged or something like that?
Well, sometimes we bid too long and you might take a loss, work too many days and there's a loss there. Or sometimes you got jobs, well, going back to the regret, that's the only thing you might want to regret when you don't bid correctly or your job, something comes up and your job's not 3 days, it turns out to be 6 days, or you're having troubles with your helper or something. You know, things like that are...
But did you, is there like a specific job that went like that you could think of?
I'm going to have to exercise that amendment again,
Did you go there and look at it and then you bidded it wrong?
That happened. That happens. Because, you know, you look at it and you know what? In most people's mind, and I'll just speak for myself, I'll look at it and go, hey, this is easy. It's you're in and out. And that doesn't usually happen. So you always have to add, if this customer says how many days, well, for example, I'll say, you know what, it's got 3 days, but allow me like 2 extra days, 5 days, for sure it's going to get done within 5 days. You allowed yourself time, so you're not alarming, you are the customer.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. So, all right, I'm thinking, let's see. You know, I'm not used to interviewing people, but this is good practice. So, all right, we'll have to interview Nate tomorrow, huh?
That's it. There you go.
All right. And if you guys can think of anything else that you want to hear from us, you know, definitely let us know, like message us or something. I think let's talk about a little bit about what we did yesterday. Like what we were painting.
It was a one unit place.
The whole thing was one color. So like the ceiling, the walls, even the base molding, everything is the same color. Even the doors, because it's a rental unit, very cheap.
I never use the word cheap, sir.
What do you want to call it?
I usually call it less expensive.
Okay, it was a less expensive...
Affordable homes
for the people that need it.
Right.
And for that reason, we went with the... Well, the customer wanted us to do it all the same color, so that's what we did. Okay. And our options were obviously to...
So he's saving money.
Yeah. And I mean, that's how it already was anyway. But, you know, it needed a fresh coat of paint. and the walls are all plaster, you know, from like the 40s or whatever, and just crumbling, and so we need to kind of patch things up and, you know, spackle cracks. That's something else we could talk about, like the right products to use for certain things. We'll talk about that in a second, right? But basically, you know, we had to decide if we were going to spray it or roll it. So, you know...
And then I think in that situation, it was good because usually you only can spray or roll. So in this situation, everything was one color, and that gave us a choice to spray everything.
Yeah.
And it saved a lot of time.
The only thing you got to think of is the prep work. Like, we got to prep all the windows.
You got to do all the prepping.
And the floor is real good, because if you were just going to roll,
right,
then obviously you wouldn't need to do all that with the windows and stuff. But you could just cut around it with your brush. But in the situation, I think it was very good that we sprayed. We taped up the windows. You know, in this house, there isn't even too many windows and stuff. So it's like the prep work wasn't too bad. And then we can spray the primer, you know, the whole thing primer, and then the whole thing with the paint. And we were able to do that all in one day. Obviously, we're going to have to do some touch-ups when we peel off the plastic and the tape for the windows and, you know, little things like that.
Because some of our tape overlapped the window edge or the window sill.
Right.
So that's where you commonly, there is
depending on the windows and stuff. Yeah, right. In this situation, yeah, there will be a little bit of touch up, but, you know, we got like 98% of it done. I got a truck cutting me off here, so I got to switch lanes. We're doing this podcast on the freeway while we're driving. So
hands free
for sure. Let's see here. Oh, let's talk a little bit about products that we were using. So like if you have, let's just say, a crack in the wall, right? You're not necessarily going to use the same product that you would use to like patch a hole in the wall. Like if you're putting new drywall in or something, and, you wouldn't necessarily use like joint compound for just a hairline crack in the wall. What you would want to use is like a spackle, a lightweight spackle. And the reason is for that is because that crack, unless you put tape, drywall tape and drywall compound, then you can float it all out and you can patch a crack like that as well. But if you're not going to use the tape, like a mesh tape or the paper tape,
right,
then, you know, the easiest and best thing that you use normally for just cracks is spackle. And also, there's spackle that is, you don't even have to primer it. You can just paint right over it. So it's just patch and paint, no primer required. Whereas with the joint compound, if you go that route, you're going to have to primer it, because the paint will, even if you, you know, the paint will soak into it. It's going to soak it in like a sponge. So basically, that's why you have the primer. And it's going to soak that primer in too, so you got to put a decent amount of primer on top of drywall mud.
So that's what you recommend, a spackle?
Spackle for a crack.
Okay. How about wood? We all know about wood. What would you recommend on wood? I have my favorite, but what would you recommend?
So you're talking about like just like floating over it to make it smooth, like a drywall, or?
No, for example, I would use MH, and I would apply that to maybe nail holes or something.
Okay, well, let me tell you something about MH.
Oh, okay.
Even though I have to admit, I learned about that product from you. I learned a lot of painting stuff from you, truthfully. So, I'm just going to throw that out there to be a nice guy. But
you know, I'm almost done with my book.
You're almost done with working. Probably. He's about retired. Okay, but anyways, MH is good product. And yeah, like for fascia, like like fascias that's peeling the paint off from like, you know, old chipping paint and stuff.
It's skim coat that. It's
good for skim coats, right? Yep. But nail holes, it's not really the right product.
Oh, okay.
To be honest with you, it's...
Is it the Hercules?
For nail holes?
Yeah.
Or any kind of like a larger area that's going to be thick, you don't really want to use the MH. The MH is more for just skim coats.
Oh, okay.
So very thin coats. For like nail hole, I mean, if there is one nail hole where you're already have to skim coat over like chip or peeling paint, I would throw probably some MH like in there as well. Yeah, but if it's larger holes and stuff, no, you would want to use on wood. I'd go with like a wood filler, which is like Durham's. There's a product called Durham's.
That
looks pretty good.
Yeah, they almost have my picture on that can. Getting pretty close though.
Yeah, they got some Muscle Man on the can. Yeah,
that's it.
And there's also like other products. There's a product that comes in a big bag called Fix All. The only thing with that is it's not good for like a lot of moisture.
Right.
So
good to know.
That's why I usually go with like Durham's for areas that are going to have more moisture. But also even something better than that is, well, I can't say better, but another product that's, could use is like a Bondo. They actually have a wood Bondo.
I was thinking about that because Durham's is a real, the material hardens up really good, you know. So don't put too much on there when you skim coat, because also there's a lot of sanding and it's not easy to sand that stuff.
Well,
like Bondo. Bondo you got to put on like almost perfect because you don't want to be sanding.
Exactly. The Bondo is harder to sand than even the Durham's and stuff, right? So yeah, exactly. The Bondo is like the hardest one to sand. And
it's more hard. It's more hard-headed than my wife. Okay, next. Sorry about that. I had to throw that in there.
So, yeah, definitely, man.
We won't talk about her to another 10 minutes. We're closing up pretty soon, though.
Yeah, so... Anyways, I hope you guys enjoyed this show. We're going to wrap it up here. We'll see you guys on the next one. Yeah!
Ding, 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 ding.